All right, we've got many things brewing. There's a lot of things brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Clark's here. Sam Clark's wife is in the corner. Welcome to be a part of the podcast at any point. So much like my own wife's contributions to the podcast. The ladies, you made a great sandwich. Yeah, and that is sandwich. One of the many ideas that I've had. So I'm about to go off on this tour. This is the first thing. Well, how to begin? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. James on Forbes McCann, Catamaran Plan. Special guest, visual element on the audio-only podcast, Sam Clark.
Hello.
Come on. Now, the important, what I want to say is, I've got. We have all these things that we're working on together. The sock video that's coming along.
Mm-hmm.
Slop Farm should be out very soon.
Hopefully by the time that people hear this.
Hopefully by the time. And you've done some wonderful work on Slop Farm. Do you want to tell the people anything about Slop Farm?
No, I don't think
okay, so. Okay, no, good. Good, good, good. So that's coming out soon. We finally got advertising for the podcast. This is the final episode of the podcast without advertising. That I'll be reading out. And some people out there, you know, for other podcasts, you know what they'd be saying? They'd be going, oh, no, ads. But people love that we're on the road to the boat, so they love that proper advertising. I hold the copy.
I printed that out at the local library.
Did you?
Yeah, you have no idea how convoluted it is to print out 3 pages of black and white paper there. But it is amazing. They handed me a binder full of information as to how to use the printer. So and I did actually have to use the information in that binder. I thought I know how to print, but it wasn't set up well.
Want me to personalize it? Oh, we'll be personalizing. Don't worry about it. This will be pretty personalized. I wonder how long we can do on this commercial. Some people would like to limit it to 1 minute. They're paying us for 1 minute. Guess what? They're probably getting more than a minute. Okay, so we've got advertising on the podcast. We've got a new comedy unspecial, are we calling it?
What's, yeah.
Slop Farm.
Slop Farm, like it's, yeah.
Slop video. Slop time. Slop. Slippity slop. Slip slop slap. We got other, here's what I want to say. Because people, I mean, this is probably the last time we're going to have an opportunity before the acceleration, before the professionalization and acceleration to have people who are already with us in on what's happening.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
This is pre-bloom.
The door's closing, the flower's opening. We close the door, door close.
Another flower opens.
And another flower opens. It's been an emotional day for me. I'm not doing a good job on the podcast because my... Anyway, it's been an emotional day. We've got this extra child and we love him. And I came back from Perth, saw Josh Spiro. Oh, man. All right, here are some ideas I've been having of late. Like, I'll be coming back from... I'm doing this tour in America.
Mm.
Hopefully, I come back with a bunch of money. We have the money to make the movie. There's a possibility that we have quite a lot of money in the near future. Like, actually, probably enough for the boat and then some. I can see that. I can see that in our future, Sam. But I have all these other ideas.
Mm.
Plans, if you will. It's got a... Your wife... Soup and sandwich business.
Mm-hmm.
Sims Soup and Sandwich. Triple S. Pronounced. S. Come on down to S. Sims Soup and Sandwich. S for short. Can you see that?
My wife would love that.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about a sandwich restaurant, and then that sandwich was great, and it just would be something about Australia, something about... Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like we're in a moment in this country where people are ready for like tuck shop vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Pauline, AI, nostalgia, 90s, Tazos, Samboys. That sandwich we just had is like a perfect... If we had that sandwich, it was beetroot, avocado, shredded carrot. It was some lettuce in that sandwich. Ham... Excuse me, not ham, mortadella. That's the modern twist.
The modern ham.
The modern ham. The modern ham. And ham stands for have a mozzarella. What was it?
Oh my God.
Mortadella. It's a ham sandwich. Have a mortadella. But I'm ready to get into the restaurant business. I've been rearing to get into the restaurant business for a long time. So let's think about that. Other thoughts I've had. I just think all day I look at, I hear business ideas. I see business opportunities. My friend Max Kneebone, he works. He has a job. I'd like him to have a brewery. He loves brewing. Wouldn't it be nice if he got to brew?
It would be nice, but I think it would be a net negative given his job is like really helping people who are in some serious need of help. And
yeah.
By giving him his brewery, that's one less. That's more people who are burnt.
Drunk and getting burnt?
No, I just mean like he's now helping people with burns is his current job.
Yeah.
And if you gave him a brewery, that's one less person who can help people who are getting burnt.
I don't think there's any limit to the number of burns helpers. Now, here's what I would say. I would think that, I've never seen Max at work on the burns ward, but I believe that another person in the world somewhere could cure or treat a burn the way he's treating the burn. I'm not saying he's not doing it great, but I bet there's a fungibility to burns treatment in the abstract, which is what he's doing now. But I think no one could make the beer that he's going to make the way he thinks about it, the way he works on it, you know? I think there's more creative possibilities in beer. You want to kind of do a burns treatment by the book. You don't want the guy coming and going, I got an exciting new idea for your burns.
But you need the new burns person to be like, want that beer and feel good about having that beer. Like maybe that's the step up.
I couldn't agree more. And imagine if you've been cured of your burns, you get to go and have one of those fancy new Max beers on your legs that now work, you know? Everyone's still being helped. I would like... Is there a big scream there?
There's a train.
I see. A book deal? I'd like to give a couple friends a book deal and start a publishing house, and I'd like us to have a printer.
We need a printer. I would love to do a coffee table book.
What's in a coffee table book?
Behind the scenes pictures of us through the years.
Nice. I love it. You've started making. You've got a collection.
I've been, because I got the Dropbox. I don't know. I sent you the first Dropbox link, and that feels like a big step step.
Are they all by you, or are other people taking? Because you know,
there's other people. There's other people.
The coffee table book that I saw was Andy Warhol's Polaroids. He went around with a Polaroid camera, and it's just Polaroids that Andy Warhol took. And there's a big version of that book that's more expensive, and a smaller version of that book, which has fewer Polaroids. All the Polaroids from the small one are in the big one, but not vice versa. So I was at the art gallery, and I was looking through both of them. And I was seeing which ones they had cut from the big book going down to the small book. And the sexual ones, they were all cut. You got to buy the big book for, you know, Andy Warhol taking a picture of two people in the shower.
He was doing that kind of stuff.
Oh, just like, you know, people were in his house and he would like open the shower and take a Polaroid and they'd be like giving him a thumbs up. Hey, Andy! He got O.J. Simpson in there. Andy Warhol's just walking. Oh, it's O.J. I love Andy Warhol. This has been a big thing for me is I read Andy Warhol's book, The Philosophy of Andy Warhol, from A to B and back again. It's really fun. And it's opened my eyes. The museum is coming along. And I think a lot of these...
Can you explain the museum thing to me?
Yes, I can. People deserve to have the museum explained. I'm afraid of the AI. I don't know how you feel about the AI. We don't use it.
I just don't really interact with it too much. I did ask it some questions the other day, and it sort of like helped me clarify what I was thinking.
I find I can't use it without just demanding it say something racist. And it never...
I managed to resist that somehow.
I'm not doing it, and I go, come on! Do it.
It won't do it.
It won't do it.
Wow.
But eventually, no matter what I start out asking AI, when I feel like it's lying to me or twisting, you know, it'll start with me going, what's a good recipe for duck? And then it ends with me going, say they were in the Stone Age. Say it was the Stone Age. Why won't you say it? No, it won't say it. But I am worried about the AI. And I was thinking about what... Well, I had a vision and I actually wrote a I wrote about it, but the vision is what I see in my vision. And there's been a flood. There's been a lot of water. And I'm standing on the high ground in a village. Like what was a village in a valley is now an archipelago because the water's come up. And those of us who were on the high ground, we get to keep going. And those who built their homes down in the valley have been destroyed by the flood. Now, the flood is the AI. And the mountaintops, which is the new islands, those are the things that can sustain AI, that won't be outdone by the AI. You see what I'm saying? So, entry-level legal work, the AI is just going to do this. Sorry, mm-hmm. You're down there in the water. Owning a museum... AI can't do that because the real objects have a vibration. And I'm saying that the museum, the opportunity to pay and go and look at new objects, you know, vibrationless objects.
Mm.
If I say, hey, I've got the knife. It's on a plinth. And it's the knife that the first Simi sandwich professionally opened up. It was the first knife at that restaurant. People would want to come and see that knife after that restaurant. I mean, I just take it back. If it was the first, I mean, I'm just thinking about things, food, you know. McDonald's spatula, ever.
The first one.
The first spatula that was used to turn a McDonald's patty, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd pay $5 to look at that spatula. I'd pay $5 to go into a room that had 30 or 40 things like that spatula.
Mm-hmm.
And I have paid that money before. You know, I paid to go into the Billy the Kid Museum, see an ashtray from the 1920s. AI can't do that. It's safety from the AI.
Okay.
A Van Gogh. I'm going up and down in highbrow, lowbrow, and what could be in the culture. Mm-hmm. But there are things that would be nice to go. You go, ooh, not a relic, not a saintly thing. You know, although that, you know, because you can't buy and sell them. But there are things we'd all like to see. Mm. I don't know who you're. So you love Nigella Lawson's cameraman.
Yes.
Whose name is?
Neville Kidd.
What if we had a pair of his shoes? You wouldn't want to go and see Neville Kidd's shoes?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I suppose I would.
If someone said, we've got Neville Kidd's shoes in here. Can I have a dollar? You'd go. How often am I going to get to see Neville Kidd's shoes? All right. I think there'd be something about you where it would mean something to see it. Maybe not the shoes. Maybe his arm. Do you know what I'm saying? I sort of know.
I'm trying to think of like what would I go and pay to see?
Well, that's the that's what a plinth is for.
It tells you what you've come to pay to see.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because it's not on the floor. It's on a table that only exists to raise it up to be seen.
Mm.
And by something going on a plinth, it gets plinth value. This is a thought that my friend Lucien, who actually I don't know very well, but I'd really like to be friends with Lucien. She was talking about, she did a show, I think, in The Fringe about plinths and the power that plinths have over us all. And it's really got me thinking about the power of the plinth. If it's on a plinth... it's worth seeing. And we then get to decide what the plinth gives electricity to. People want... it's called the Museum of Greatness. I mean, I could... Right now. What about right now? I mean, I look around your house. I see beautiful... There are beautiful things all over this house. That vase. You know, at the moment, it's a vase. It's a nice vase in a room. If it were on a plinth... Mm?
So who's determining what plinths will be used?
The plinths or what goes on the plinths?
No, the plinths themselves.
Well, that's... I mean, we would usually have an open creative conversation about a thing like that. You and I. Eh? But I can see, like with Organ Hour, it took... I feel like Organ Hour took some convincing.
Organ Hour took no convincing. I knew exactly what you wanted to do from the moment that we spoke about it on the podcast. You then continued over the next weeks to be like, oh, you just don't get organ hour. I then deliver organ hour to exactly, if not better than the specs you set out.
So much.
And
better.
I'm still now being accused of not understanding organ hour.
But the Museum of Greatness.
Here's what I would love to see as a Museum of Greatness, or instead of the Museum of Greatness.
Okay.
Regurgitator. You know how they had the thing where they were like in the mall, or they were somewhere for, you know,
they were doing
the album.
Yeah.
What I would, and they were in like a glass cube and everyone could come and see them recording that album for however long that took. I would love to see that exact setup with multiple rooms that you could see in past perspect glass of people restoring antique objects and cleaning really dirty rugs and things like that.
I like this, but do we then see the rugs?
Mm, well, yeah, like you see, like it's like a live stream, or it's like a Big Brother, but it's like people restoring and cleaning things like a dirty rug that then you go, whoa, look, it's now looks heaps better, or you know.
So like on YouTube, how you. I'm guessing that you're watching these things on YouTube, because I know people who, you know, it'll be a rusted thing. They paint, they sandblast it.
Yeah, there's a hole in a Louis Vuitton bag. Like, okay, let's re-canvas that bag.
All right, so you're saying sort of a theater where you just watch, like an operating theater.
Yes.
But with seats, like a theater or a play.
Well,
you think important to have a glass wall?
I think so. I think the people doing the cleaning need to live there 24/7 while this is happening, and it be like a Big Brother situation with those people that are doing the cleaning.
Are they working in shifts?
I don't think so. I think this is their dedicated
slaves.
I think depending on how well they do with their object, they can be remunerated to a degree, or, you know, to a percentage of, you know, what it's sold for, or what the value now is.
There's a term for this. There's when the church would board people up, when someone would go, I want to just be in this room forever, and they'd go, cool, and they'd put a wall up,
entomb,
like on the they would entomb them,
yeah.
So like. You know, like at our church, like there's a side chapel. So it'd be like, oh, there's a lady in there, and they just build a wall in front of it. And you just always know that there's an anchorite. They're called anchorites.
Anchorites, yeah.
And, you know, she's in there, and maybe there's a little hole. And maybe like once a year, she opens up a little window, and you can go and listen to, or, you know, maybe all members of the public, different anchorites, different rules. But people can come to them and say, what are you thinking about in there? Any new ideas? What's going on? Do you have anything you wanted to share with us? There have been. I think the last anchorite was in the 60s, but it used to be more common. And there are women who are shut-ins.
Yes,
you know, who are. It's mostly women, but what do they call that? People who are afraid of going out.
Agoraphobic.
What if you could be agoraphobic for God? It's an anchorite.
Hmm.
But I'm saying an anchorite for fixing a Louis Vuitton bag.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like an exhibition to me.
Okay.
Like if it was an art gallery, an art museum, it could be like, here's a live art piece. Go in and have a look at man who's living here for a week. Just for a week. Don't make it more than... Regurgitator only had to make an album in a week once. Then they stopped.
I don't know why I'm seeing this as like a real... As a farm.
Neither do I. I'm saying what the museum is it would be nice to be able to pay. I like the museum that we have in Adelaide. I do like it. I like the art gallery.
Yep.
I think it would be nice to have more places that you could go. It's a Saturday. We've got a lot of food options. We've got a lot of places to eat. We've got a lot of shopping options. But in terms, you can go to the cinema, maybe even a play, maybe even the beach, maybe a nature walk. But there's something about... We're going to see the Museum of Greatness. There's something new on a plinth. Something a little exciting. I think that's a gift you give people. It's like show business. I think this thing of show, this thing of having a show, you know, with stand-up, I have to get my ass together. I have to get on a jet plane. I have to get up on time. If I miss it, I need to buy a Jetstar flight. And I need to fly, as happened recently, and I have to fly all the way to Perth, schlap it or have a nap, slap it over there, do a show, sit down, do a show, sit down, do a show, sit down, eat some Chinese food, go to bed, fly back. What if the show never left? What if the show was always going and it was the museum? A museum is a kind of show business, is what I'm saying.
This would be based in Adelaide, would it? The Museum of Greatness?
I think Adelaide would be the perfect place for the Museum of Greatness. I've just jarred my finger on the chair pointlessly. Did you see that happen?
I did, yeah.
It was bizarre. Yeah, Adelaide. Adelaide, because I think it's a gift to our town that you would want something of such international quality that people would come from far afield. Hello, we come out to look at the Museum of Greatness in Adelaide. The MoMA. Mona? MoMA. The Museum of Old New Art. There are museums. The Louvre. People go to the Louvre.
Yeah, I've heard of the Louvre.
They're just there. And you go all the way to Paris and you go, why are you in Paris? And you go, well, I reckon I might go and look at the Louvre. Did you want to see the Champs-Élysées? Nah, mostly the Louvre. But why wouldn't we have our Louvre? Hello, looking for the mug?
That you do you have that going. Yeah, you got that going for you.
The mug.
The mug.
We mug.
Wow.
We can move on. I
don't know. Look, yeah. It's cool.
Hey.
You know.
If you don't see the museum, you don't see the museum. You saw Organ Hour so clearly.
Oh, you don't get to say that now. You don't get to pretend like, no, no.
Here's what I see. I see tickets. I see velvet rope. I see beautiful carpets. I see crisp walls. I see lovely, lovely lighting. I see a gift shop. It's just what I see. I see an old man in a dark suit. He's the security guard. White gloves, asking people to take a step back, but being good about it.
I think we'll know we've made it when Just Stop Oil decides to glue themselves to, yeah, to the organ.
That's how. That's what I'm saying.
That's
good. That's press.
Exciting. Yeah.
So why wouldn't we start the museum? Mm-hmm. We have the first day of the museum. That's a big hit, right? We just leverage that. People will just come because there's a new museum. I'll promote it. We'll leverage everything we've got. There's a line around the block. Uh-huh. You know, first day of the museum. I can see it now as a marketing. Small museum in town, but whatever. 1,000 people come to get in and see the museum. Big line. You get footage of huge... Imagine seeing that in Adelaide. The longest lines you see in town are people trying to buy gold in Sydney or Asians waiting for a new shoe. Asians love waiting for a new shoe. But this is for a museum. People have never seen lines like this before. So the second day, of course, the news, they're covering... There's news, Channel 7, they're going, a new museum has opened in Adelaide. Look at the line around the block. What's in the museum? Oh, we couldn't tell you. You have to come and see it yourself, but it's great. Next day, second day, people have seen that news story. You get the mainstream people coming in. That's big. That's big. Gets you on the map. But what happened? What you do that day to get people in on the third day? Just Stop Oil come in. They glue themselves. We organize. We say, come on. Come on. No one's looking. Yeah. It's time to glue. Then we get international coverage. A new museum and on just its third day.
And like, but that's the regurgitator moment. That's the moment where you put up the Perspex sort of box around the Just Stop Oil gluing protest, and then you let that be a object of greatness.
I agree. But this is what I'm saying. Maybe there are a lot of nice objects in the museum and Just Stop Oil destroy or damage a lot of them. And then the wall goes up, okay, the Perspex, the glass. And we're watching, yeah, the healing of those objects. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying
we had a Louis Vuitton bag, it got destroyed, and now, over the next week, come and see a man repair that Louis Vuitton bag.
That's awesome. I do love that. What I was sort of saying is Just Stop Oil, come in.
Yeah.
the young lady glues her hand to the organ,
yep.
the organelle organ that's there. At that point, we have it all ready to go. Four men come out with four Perspex walls, yep. Perspex walls, and we entomb the Just Stop Oil
she's
lady.
She's
and now she's the anchorite, and she's glued to the organ. What's she going to do?
Is that a prisoner?
That's a prisoner. But that's a museum thing. Yeah. No. This is all planned. This is all planned. Yeah.
But a space where you could plan, you could have excitement, and people go, oh, I wonder what the plan is down there.
Yeah.
Because you know what the plan is down at the State Museum? It's just we got a wall full of didgeridoos.
Mm.
They're not moving. No one's trying to destroy. There's no drama.
You're not allowed to play them either.
No. Especially not ladies. Make it go barren. I love this chair. I've never noticed this chair before. This is a very, like, what is this, 70s chair? 80s chair?
It's got real Simi's design. Nodding.
It's got great design. You were going to sell this chair?
Yeah.
Wish I'd known you had this chair ready for sale before I bought my office chair. I bought an IKEA office chair.
Have you been back to IKEA since we last...
Only to buy this office chair.
Okay.
It looks like my...
But you've managed to stay away, since then.
Well, it's been a busy... I haven't had any time to do nothing.
Because
we've got a new baby. And I've been in bloody... Where have I been? I've been all over. I'm sorry. And that's why the podcast has been slow. It's my fault. But it's really starting up. I mean, slip slop.
I so believe in slip slop. Slippy top.
The restaurant. Simi's sourdough super sandwiches. Drive-through sandwich restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Northeastern suburbs. Ermina. Northeastern suburbs. Morialta.
Mm.
$20 sandwich. Yum, yum. A. Tea Tree Plaza. The Tea Tree. Simi soup sandwich. It has to be a little closer than that, I would think. Towns, like, you want somewhere where people are really driving. Really doing some driving, you know. But I think the Northeast is more, like, aspirational in that way. Paradise. Drive through. Sim soup sandwich. Gillis Plains. Simi.
Gillis.
Soup sandwich.
Plains.
Simi, do you reckon you'd have a lot of sandwiches or one?
A lot.
A lot.
No, like five.
Five sandwiches? S, Simi. Six sandwiches.
True. See, this is why you're the comedian.
Six sandwiches. And they would be... A fish one.
You
gotta
have a tuna one.
You gotta have a tuna one. Steak
melt.
Sandwich?
Yeah.
With like caramelized
onion on that steak sandwich, absolutely.
Yeah. BLT.
Brioche. Lamb. Tahini.
You have
chicken sandwich.
The BLT is famous in this house. Because well, one of our favorite comedians ever in the whole world, Brad Hollis.
Yeah.
Simi once offered Brad a BLT and said to Brad, would you like a BLT? And he paused for a moment, had a real moment of thought and said to himself, bacon, lettuce, tomato. Yeah. Yes, I would. Thank you. Never
forget. We are trying
that.
To track Brad down again. Brad.
Brad is number
one. Brad, we love you. We miss you. We want to be working with you. Hold on. That's four sandwiches. Hold on. We got the tuna, the BLT, the steak, the chicken. What did we just eat then?
Mortadella.
Better have that sandwich in there. You get one more sandwich.
Maybe that could be a special one.
Yeah, the sixth is the monthly rotation special sandwich.
Oh. Well, then let's make it seven, because that's S2, because I think you need a vegetarian sandwich.
Yeah.
I think you do. Sam, you don't think you need a vegetarian sandwich?
No, I think you do. I'm just trying to think what it would be. I'd love a potato bake sandwich.
Chippy sandwich.
Oh, yeah, chippy sandwich.
Chippy sandwich?
chippy sandwich.
That's like a potato bake, effectively. You'd like baked potato in the sandwich?
We could call Andy Cook's.
What's Andy Cook's? Potato bake. Chips in a sandwich. Sandwich chips.
You know Andy Cook's?
No.
He's a YouTube guy, chef.
Yeah.
He's great. But he released Red Rock. They do the chef chips?
Yeah.
He did a potato bake one.
Can potato bake that? Crisps.
Yeah.
You hearing this? This is a good idea. We got to have money for this idea.
This is good. They were good chips. And Pori had her ones were good.
I still stand by as a first stop to doing this. I still think no choices. You could have each one of these sandwiches, one thing at a time. Build up the... See, first, this is my business model. I'm just going to quickly say, this is my idea right now coming to me. Start with the city. Start with the city people, okay? Get the city people. Hey, city people, cool, urban, trendsetters, magazines writing stories about it, all the top cool people buying the tea towels, the sandwiches, super sandwich. Then you go suburban. Then you go, we got the six, seven sandwiches. Six, seven. Oh, the kids love it.
Yeah.
You take those sandwiches, you in the city you go for one at a time. That's the sandwich you're getting. But then in the suburbs with the drive through, you get six or seven. And it's a drive-thru, but it's the same sandwich. But it's if you could have a drive-thru Lucia's number one, go and drive off and get it most days, I reckon. Drive-thru, when you're driving, you can't get out of that car for whatever reason. When you're driving, you just want something. Sometimes you go, isn't there anyone who can give me something that won't kill me without leaving my car? Something for the kids, something for the soul. Somewhere where there's a museum.
Drive-through museum?
Here's the third location. Museum cafe.
Yep.
People love taking a break on their museum. I might have to go to bed.
You're tired.
It's been a bad day.
Mm.
I think that's a good reset. I think that's a good slow one to get us back. Slop Farm, out now. Check out Slop Farm.
Slop Farm.
Next week's episode, season 3.
Yeah.
No, season 2 continued. Mid-season break. Did you see the UK SNL have a show now?
I did see that. I saw an advertisement for that.
They've worked so hard on it. And there's some nice people involved. Who we met. We met a lot of the people involved.
Bella, did we?
Bella was working on it. We met her at the Sam Campbell gig. And there's a couple other people working on it who we met when we were in the UK.
Mm.
I think Finn must have been writing on it because some of the jokes were so obviously Finn Taylor jokes.
I wonder why they struggle over there in the UK to make funny things, like in a mainstream sense, because there's so many funny people there.
There are. So you're asking is what's wrong with them?
What's wrong with the... I mean, it's a similar problem that we have here. What's wrong with the mainstream... outlet of comedy stuff? Like, why?
I was thinking the other day that show, that like Last One Laughing show, is what it's called. Man, I wish I was on that show.
You would do well on
if
that.
If I could get on the season 2 of the Australian version of that show, I'd win. I wouldn't make any.
Was there a season 1?
Yes, there was. Yes,
oh, there was. Dear.
And no disrespect.
Waleed Ali didn't have you going. They have.
I don't laugh very much.
No.
It's a problem when I have people on the podcast that I don't laugh.
You don't have to laugh.
For a comedy podcast, it is unusual to have a guest on and for the host to not laugh. I mean, on this podcast, I don't think there's been... Maybe people listening have been laughing, you know? But this is not a room full of loud laughers. For people working in the comedy industry...
It's a very sullen environment here at Sam Clark Studio.
Sad. Sim Sam.
It's a very critical environment.
Sim Sam. No.
Hey, actually on that note, can I bring something up?
Yeah.
I think you need to have your hair cut.
What haircut are you angling for?
I don't want to get involved that far.
Okay. You just think I need a haircut.
I think that, yeah, I think it's time for you to... There's always something happens around that.
I'm shaving
my
beard off.
Okay. Well, it's just something happening.
Yeah, I'm going to leave the moustache.
But this is the...
Shave the beard off. This will happen in the next 2 days.
This is still the haircut from that famous photo that I really quite like on the Instagram, like where you look, where it's like anime character style.
Yeah.
Triangle head. Is that right? This is still that from that?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's, yeah.
This is just grown out.
The website land page.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Wow.
So you think time that was a while again?
You do what you think is no, right. No, look,
it's time. It's time. I was going to ask you because I've got to I'm going to be wearing some sort of outfit when I do this America tour and record whatever it is. And I don't really I was thinking a big Steve Harvey suit.
Steve Harvey. Oh, not have you been paying attention? What was it? Time crunch. Jeopardy. Family business.
Family feud. Family business. What kind of family business?
Family business.
Now this movie, I mean, I keep having ideas. We're both having ideas for the movie.
Mm.
We haven't mentioned the movie. But the movie's coming as well.
I'm really excited for the movie. I've had like a bit of a second wind in the pre-planning of it and thinking about how I might execute it and stuff like that and having lots of good chats. And I still not really sold on exactly how we're going to do it. The dichotomy is like between a total guerrilla, like just run and gun everything.
Yeah.
And then the other end of that spectrum is like, you know, three trucks rock up every day with all the gear and, you know, it's like super hyper planned. And
I think it's the two. I think the bits that are in the bar and the bits that are in the tent, we can be very careful with. And I think everything else we run and gun.
Yeah. I was really leaning towards the run and gun thing and just, being a bit flexible.
It's our first one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really open to it being bad. I would rather it's not.
Yeah.
But like I will not, I would rather have fun with it and do interesting, strange things and take chances.
I think as long as we're having fun. The thing is, like, you know, a film is such a baked cake. It's not a museum where you can continue the curation and refresh and blah, blah, blah. Like, you do it, it's done. Only so much the editing, you can help yourself. But if you shot a flat shot, that's a flat shot forever.
I don't really know what a flat shot
is. Oh, you know, if there's no like...
Life?
If there's no life to the shot, if there was enough time or you didn't realize a good way to like make it look as good as it could look with the time allocated and the gear that you have, like I hate just like going back and looking at things and being like, I had that thing and I could have made it better this way. I mean, I'll always do that. But.
Well, I'm glad we're doing this one before Brad's Glove.
Mm.
And we can follow it up with Brad, but we'll learn. My hope is that we learn.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't directed people in some time. Never in a movie, but only in plays and things. And I do find it, I found it really challenging to direct and to get what I wanted out of people. But I would sometimes get it with the play. And my hope is that, because you only have to get it once the way you want it on a film.
Mm.
How did Sock come out? Have you had a look at Sock? We haven't touched Sock.
Hasn't been made, no.
Slop then Sock.
Slop and Sock. And the same with poetry clips. It's just like because of the way that
we did a video of me reading some poems and then halfway through I take off a jacket and the amount of sweat coming off of my tits perfectly under where a man's breast would be rendered the video unwatchable.
Unwatchable.
Well, you can't watch it anymore. It would be like if there was a naked penis on the screen. It would be, well, that's pulling focus. This is no longer what it was. This is now about having a sweaty tit.
So I would like to actually break that down because, you know, we sort of joked about it afterwards.
I looked at it.
Yeah, but like on the night and I said, oh, the tit's wet. And then you said, help me. Like, you should have helped me. Was there something I could have done on the day? Should I have gone, when you're about to take off the jacket, should I have gone, James, keep the jacket on? Or like...
No. This is fun. This is... Here's what you could have done. You could have gone, at a lull, you could have gone, Jimmy, Jim. I could have gone, yeah. You could have gone, We got to go to an intermission. We got to go just for the cameras. And we're going, oh, okay. You didn't even have to lie. You could have just said, it's intermission time. We need an intermission right now. And I would have gone, okay. And you would have quietly and discreetly, and so that no one could hear. Because the audience might have noticed I had some sweat on my teeth. It's on video, very noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
In the room, you see it once, you forget it, you move on. After a while, you go, oh, I guess he does have a big sweaty tit. But you would have taken me aside and discreetly said, there's a lot of sweat under your tit. Okay? It's we're going to need to put the jacket on for the rest of it. And I would have said, fuck, it's hot. Thanks for letting me know. And you would have gone, that's fine. And then we would have had a beer together. I would have had a beer. You would have watched me have a beer. And then we would have come back.
That's happened many times.
Then we would have come back.
Yep. All right.
But if there's a thing like that, I think you just have to be... Because we don't want them to know.
No.
But you're always within your rights to bring it all to a halt.
All right.
Now, the answer is not for me to have an earpiece. I'm happy with you having the earpiece. Everybody's got the earpiece. Maybe it is. Hey, maybe the earpiece is cool. I know you love the... I've never seen someone happier with an earpiece.
I don't know what... I don't know what is inside me, but just things get me going. Like broadcast... things that traditionally happen when we put it in our pod. I just get excited by it.
I don't think I could.
I don't think
stand
you need to.
Earpiece.
No, you can't do stand up with an earpiece. You can't. No. It's
I could do an interview with an earpiece.
Yeah, I think like it's like James Jam is earpiece kind of thing.
Something about the earpiece.
When I'm far away from you and things like that, possibly. Yeah. But there's and we have the equipment to do that.
The listeners will not see that was a smile that Steve Harvey was unable to generate from Sam was the thought of his friend wearing an earpiece. That's where the love
I don't know what's wrong with me, James.
But you love an earpiece. Nothing wrong with that.
Sam McDonough
loving earpieces is not
and
a disease.
Maggie said, you two, you have an incredible synergy. I thought that's really
nice.
We have a synergy.
We have a great synergy.
I don't even know what that means, but it felt right. Like, yes.
Would you please title this episode
Synergy?
Yeah, eight S's and then synergy. Synergy.
Yes.
I can see the shop where the sandwiches are sold. I see it.
See the shop where the sandwiches are sold.
She sells sandwiches by the seashore.
Drive through.
Yeah. Grange Beach Drive.
Yeah, Grange, yeah.
Grange Beach Drive.
We need to do a pod at a beach. We need to do a pod in a car. We need to do a pod on a treadmill.
I've started writing my bus takes for the bus takes. Bus gives. Instead of Subway Takes. Have you watched Subway Takes yet?
I haven't watched it yet.
So it's just, have you seen Subway Takes, Timmy?
Is that guy that's like, what's your take?
Yeah, he's always on a subway. He's like, what's your take?
Yeah.
So we'll get on a bus. We'll set up a camera. We'll account for the vibrations of the bus somehow. Bus takes. And then I'm just writing out my takes. One of which is Chinese is not one of the top five world cuisines. Sorry, Chinese. It's not top five.
That's, I don't know if I agree with that.
100% disagree. Okay, Chinese for me is behind Indian. Absolutely no doubt. If a choice between Chinese and Indian, if you can put one in a spaceship to preserve for future generations.
Indian
over Chinese. What do the Chinese have to compete with garlic naan? Nothing.
Sweet and sour eggplant.
Okay. Samosas. Now you could say spring roll.
I wasn't going to say spring roll. I was going to say wonton.
I've got a trump card in my back pocket that even if you pull out lemon chicken, it's not going to top butter chicken. Nothing.
It doesn't.
Beats butter chicken. Nothing.
Yeah, it does.
Nothing beats
butter chicken. Is just orange slop. I've never had.
You've never enjoyed your butter chicken?
There's been times. This is really contentious in this household.
That's crazy.
Yeah, this is really big here because I had my wife introduced me to butter chicken.
That's crazy.
In my 20s. It's so expensive and you get nothing.
It's not expensive. North Indian? North Indian cuisine? Beyond India. Beyond India? Okay.
And please remember,
it doesn't live in your memory.
Can you remember?
Is this true?
I have a very bad food taste memory. And it's true that I'll complain every time we go to get butter chicken, but at least 50, 60% of the time, after I eat it, I'll be like, oh, that was really nice. It's missing the fresh element. It is just like...
You get a yogurt. You get the chutney. You get the fresh bread, the roti.
Yeah.
Here's another one. I'll give you another one over Chinese. Vietnamese. Surely we can accept Vietnamese.
Yep.
The sandwiches.
I will.
It's the best.
I'll accept that.
How about Italian? You go Italian over Chinese? Pizza over Chinese? Gelato.
Yeah, I'd have... Yes.
Come on.
So how many is that already over? Three.
I'm at three, but if you're not going Indian, I'll just keep going until I find someone to push out Chinese. Because French... For me, French.
Okay, see, I've never really interacted that much with any French.
A croissant, a baguette, beef bourguignon is very important for me. A ratatouille. No, the French. Well, we keep going. Tex-Mex I got here. I put that over
Tex-Mex
Mexican.
Tex-Mex is good.
I go Tex-Mex over
Mex. Yeah.
Because I've had Mex and I go, okay, all right. But when I go our version of Mexican, I love it. Nachos.
Oh, yeah.
Nachos, great.
Getting a bag of Doritos and some avocados and some sour cream and some Colby cheese.
Yeah.
Sprinkled on top there. And a couple of like jalapenos that have come in, you know, like the slightly pickled. You know, you get the tub of jalapenos in the water. Yeah, put a couple of them on there on the nachos. Tabasco and the nachos, the salsa from like, you get the salsa from, you get the Dorito. I got the Dorito, so I like that. Yeah, medium. Medium's a good one, eh? Medium's a good one. But Tex-Mex to me is above Chinese.
Yeah, so I think you've made your case well there and yeah.
Even Thai.
Oh, yeah.
Green chicken curry?
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of one. I can't think of, even like if I'm going to go Malaysian, the laksa? Is the queen of soups. I think of minestrone as being the king of soups. And laksa as being the queen of soups.
Mexican soup that I make.
You make a Mexican soup?
Simi makes a Mexican soup.
Making Mexican soup. Well, back to an S again. There's in Austin, they had the soup peddler, which I love. Soup monger.
Yep.
S&M. Soup monger. What made me laugh? I make myself laugh. That's why I'd be no good on that show. Soupmonger. Sensational soups.
To mong.
Mong? Monger?
To mong.
Mong on down to the soupmonger town. Bang a nang a nang a nang a nang a nang a nang a nang. Soup, 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 soup. Bumano no mono. Yum, yum.
Bumano no mono. Yum, yum.
Soupy, soupy. Yum, yum. Tick, tick, tock. It's soup sandwich o'clock. Can you get soups only in... We don't do a gazpacho in the summer months.
What's a gazpacho?
Cold tomato soup from Spain. Is it only winter soups? You know what I like is seasonal soup. Like you can only... It's only open like on the first day of winter. Bang. The soup shop. Soup cart. Remember the pie cart?
Yeah.
Soups. And you go, ooh, it's winter soup time. People look forward to it. The McRib is back.
Is it?
No, but it's the feeling you get.
Yeah.
You go,
yeah,
ooh,
yeah.
Remember the McRib?
I kind of have a weird feeling about mass-produced soup or even just like, not mass-produced, like factory, but like I don't like the thought that like all the soup would be done in one pot.
Yeah.
I want each person's soup to be done individually.
Nah. Charge a lot of money for that soup.
I just
and I like that. You know what I like? One of my favorite soups? Borscht.
Borscht.
I love a borscht soup.
Sounds like you're like sort of abbreviating something.
Folks need poshes, hoes need a borscht soups. That's a Vince Staples song lyric improved. Having a borscht. Having a borscht.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Borscht.
We borscht.
Borscht. We borscht. Had to have a borscht. You get beetroot in the borscht? What?
Wait,
what? Borscht.
Borscht. Is that the name of the museum now?
Borscht. B-O-R-S-C-H-T, I think.
Borscht.
Borscht.
Wow.
Borscht. That's the Swedish chef. Swedish. Chinese beat Swedish for me. I love
IKEA.
I love the IKEA food, but Chinese beats.
Well, I had the IKEA food for the first time with you the other week. It was my first time the other month.
You had a good time.
And it was really nice, and we've been back.
Is it?
It beats butter chicken. That $11 schnitzel beats butter chicken, obviously.
I don't think it beats Chinese.
I don't think it beats Chinese either, but it sure beats Indian.
You're crazy. Is there a German soup?
Borscht.
No, that's a Slav soup. SS. All right. Okay. Podcast was getting better and better towards the end there.
Yep. Have you ever done a sleep study? This is something that I've been...
No. What happens there?
Well, I've never done it, but I was thinking about doing it, and they, like, you go to a place.
Is this for money?
And it's all.
Were they?
No, you pay for it.
Oh,
you
okay.
Pay
no, for that it. I like.
Yeah. No, it's a. It's
I'd like
a
to think we're making enough money now that you don't have to start doing medical tests.
Yeah, no.
You're not submitting yourself for medical tests
not
again,
anymore.
Are you?
Not anymore.
Did you ever do that in
no,
the past?
No, I never did that.
Seems
did.
Like something you would have.
No, it's, about. You know, it stops at the medicine stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
But you'd let them. You'd go into a room and have them watch you sleep for a few days, where they poke you with a stick.
Yeah, but no. But now I would do that for my own informational purposes.
You want to know how you sleep?
Yeah.
Get the app.
But what do you mean, get the app?
There's an app you can get that you put on your bed. You put your phone next to your bed when you sleep, and it tells you about how your sleep was. It's like measuring the movements in the bed.
Oh wow!
Yeah. It's called.
That would be cool. Because my mum, she got a sleep study done and said, like, you know, in a minute, you stop breathing like over 60 times. So every second she stops breathing. But I don't understand that. But also it's like, I'm not always breathing. I breathe in. I wait. I breathe out.
I got my blood pressure done, and I was thinking about that with the second blood pressure number, which is your blood pressure between beats.
Mm.
And it was like, on the beats, great blood pressure. Between the beats, it was high.
But isn't that what it's doing? It's pumping? Like, you wouldn't...
Yeah, I didn't know. I hadn't thought about the pressure being different between...
Mm.
Like, I guess as it's pumping, it's flowing, so it's higher.
Mm.
Do you know, on Venus, the wind is very mild, but the air is 60 times thicker than Earth. So even a mild breeze is very powerful. Did you know that?
How could I know that?
This has been yet another episode. Slop Farm, out now. Made by Sam Clark, written and performed by James Donald Forbes McCann. I'm going to go home. I'm going to have a nap. How about you?
I'm going to edit Slop Farm.
Going to finish up Slop Farm?
Yep.
I feel good and nervous alternately because this is showing. Slop Farm, listeners, is me doing comedy badly. I did have a thought for the intro of Slop Farm. You may not want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Aboriginal people die, they have viewers to be advised that this program contains audio and video, whatever it is, of persons who have died. I could say that, but like jokes that have died. Anyway, we don't have to do that. Because it's me doing comedy. Yeah. We did a bunch of shows and then there's like some bits that didn't work or were very local or strange or whatever. So we're using that. And that's the Slop Farm. Because the good stuff has to be kept for the special that's being recorded. But you still deserve a little something.
Mm.
This is a Rarities B-Sides outtake type operator. I feel vulnerable. But I feel a little less vulnerable when I use my... Anyway, we won't advise. We won't. So the next episode, I think after Slop Farm, will just be me reading this 1 minute advertisement. I'm not going to spoil it now. This is going to be, this is huge for us. Huge. Hey! All right.